So I think we'll kind of take up the other questions tomorrow, and because the other questions are not short answer questions. We try to do the short answer ones to get three in today. Tomorrow's we'll take up some other questions which have a lot more intense answer and more involved in our thought process. Today, so on Sunday we talked about developing a Christian worldview. Yesterday we looked at God's design for men and women and the importance of living that out and living that way. And today, with the Lord's help, and we really do need the Lord's help, we want to look at a topic that is sensitive, yet important, vital, because we're all exposed to it. And we want to basically claim back what has been taken by the enemy and corrupted. And we may not even realize that we might be affected by that corruption. And so we're going to be looking at today God's gift of sexuality. And Brother Sam's going to lead us in that discussion. And with the Lord's help, we can all be helped and profited by it.
Thanks, Brother Mark. In preparing for this talk, I think this is one of the most important topics that any of us, not just young people, middle-aged or older people, need to really address. And you can talk to my wife afterwards, but I was doing some math last night, and I just figured out I have been on this road for about 37 years as a believer. 37. That struck me last night. During that time, I don't remember, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't remember ever having an occasion to sit down and really address human sexuality amongst a group of believers. I've had to do it in school, professionally, but I have never, I'm not saying it hasn't been done. Brother Tim could probably tell you he does it other places. I have never heard it discussed. For many, I look around the audience, and I know many of you are young adults. Some are older, but that's okay. And many of you know that when you go to school, at the beginning of the semester or term or whatever you want to call it, you're given a syllabus or whatever, and you're given a reading list. And you don't have to put your hands up, but I sort of know that in this generation, that there are many people who see the textbook on the list, and for whatever reason, don't buy it, because they assume that they've heard stories that the professors don't use that book. And you could probably get by the class without buying the book. I see heads nodding, and I know that's true. There are creative ways of getting through the class and passing the class without buying the book. Well, I'm going to tell you something that really came home to me this morning. This book that we have here is the textbook for life. There is no way you are going to succeed in this course of life without studying this book. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. And if you do not acquaint yourself with this book and bow to the authority of this book, we will run into all sorts of trouble. That's what's going on. You know, it's interesting about the textbook analogy. This is the only textbook, only book. I've been reading it by the grace of God for 37 years. Almost every day. And I feel so dumb because I don't know. I just don't know it. And I still learn from it every day. There is no way you can buy a textbook and read it for 37 years every day and not get bored of reading it. This is special. This is the word of the living God. So the topic that we're going to talk about today is so critical for us. We want to go back into Genesis chapter 1. I am going to be a bit more direct, and because of time, we have so much to cover. Genesis chapter 1, and I want somebody to help me. I can do it myself, but I want some help. I want somebody to read it from verse 26 to 28. And if we pause too long, I'm going to do it because we don't have time. Right? So we really need to move. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Somebody read it, please.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the whole earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the heavens and over every animal that moveth on the earth.
Okay, thank you. So when it comes to this whole notion of human sexuality, we start with what the Bible says. And I want to say something very simple. God created us as sexual beings. I repeat, God created us as sexual beings. He created the anatomy that we have and the physiology that works it. He did it. That verse in verse 28, the purpose of humans, one major purpose for sex is reproduction. Simple. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and so on. So one major purpose for human sexuality is the continuance of the species. And to put it in biological terms, he's a creator. There's a purpose. He wants us to reproduce so that there are other beings that follow us. That's purpose number one. From what I see, basic for human sexuality. Turn over to chapter 2, and I want somebody else perhaps to read from verse 18, just to get some of the background, which we already actually alluded to earlier. Verse 18, and I want someone to read all the way to 25.
Genesis 2.
Yep.
Verse 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whosoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made him a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Thank you. I want somebody else to turn to Mark chapter 10, verses that we had yesterday, I believe. Mark chapter 10, and read verses 6 through to 9.